And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Lauren Landis. Patty is still on her way in from last week's show. So she will be here for last week's show in just a few minutes, we're hoping.
So she has a lot of makeup to do.
Rabbi is here. His sister is here. Happy Rosh Hashanah. And we need to give a hug for people who are on camera. That's Happy Rosh Hashanah. We will see you in a couple of weeks. I'll do the Jewish Music Hour next week, so tune in early for my fakakta version of the Jewish Music Hour.
Take care.
Today's Pride.
Today is Pride.
Yeah, that's why we're so discombobulated. Today is Pride.
Dallas Pride, not National Pride.
Not National Pride. National Pride is...
in June.
Sometime in June, celebrating something that happened in New York. Why is our... we always do this.
And we need to
Why is our Pride today?
It is a couple of reasons. One, weather. Two, because of what happened in 1981, and that's when the Texas anti-sodomy law was declared unconstitutional for the first time.
Yeah, Judge Jerry Buckmeyer, who was a U.S. District Judge, he was the level of all of these judges who are declaring the state marriage bans unconstitutional.
Right.
Jerry Buckmeyer declared 2106, the penal code, that made homosexuality illegal in Texas. He declared it unconstitutional.
In September.
Actually, no.
It wasn't?
It was in August.
Okay.
In 1981, we didn't have any internets. And it took 4 weeks till we could put together a celebration. And before we could put together... and get the word out.
Wow.
You know, now you put it on Facebook. Facebook then was you printed up a sheet and you posted it all over Cedar Springs. And where else can we put it? Oh, yeah, how about at the gay church? You know, how about at, you know, where else? So that's how you did things. So that's how it ended up in September. The ruling was actually in August.
August.
We had all forgotten that. And I was looking up some information about it one fairly recently, and I realized that was in August.
Yeah, I thought the ruling came in September.
Nope. Yeah, it was 4 weeks before we could get together a big celebration. We had this big party in Lee Park. Now, his ruling was overturned.
And it
took until the Lawrence v. Texas case
to get it permanently.
Well, for him to be proven right by the
Supreme Court.
For them to declare that, yeah, he was right. In a case of clear discrimination against a gay couple.
So that's why we have Pride here in Dallas in September.
Right.
And it is a little cooler compared to June. Not always much, but it is a little cooler.
Mm-hmm. And it's a gorgeous day out today.
So there are
something like how many entries? 75 entries in the parade. The parade starts at 2 o'clock, so right after the show. It starts at it winds its way down Cedar Springs and then down Turtle Creek and back up to Lee Park, and then afterwards there's a festival in Lee Park. The parade takes about 3 hours or so because they have to cross some major streets, and so traffic doesn't start right away. Here's Patty. So... Let's talk some last week's news with her. Happy Pride next week, Patty.
Oh, thank you very much.
So we're celebrating it today, but Patty is here late from last week's shows. She'll be arriving at the parade on Thursday.
You know me way too well.
I know I do. But there was a controversy about the parade this year.
There was a controversy about it last year.
And I think the year before.
And the year before.
But you know what? I think this year it got to a different level.
All right.
Do you want to talk about what that was?
I don't know all the details about this year's.
I think there are a number of them. I think there's a controversy around how corporate the parade has become.
Mm-hmm. And that's been an ongoing controversy, or an escalating controversy, I think.
Right. Yeah. I think it's been sort of an issue that people have talked about for many years now, but it's really kind of come to the fore this year, where a corporate sponsor also did a fundraiser for Dan Patrick.
It's not a corporate sponsor, it's the title sponsor.
The title sponsor, which is pretty...
That's pretty big.
it's pretty big and pretty glaring. You know, so this corporate sponsor also did a fundraiser for perhaps the most vocal, widely
reviled
anti-gay anybody in the state of Texas at the moment. You know, he's up on TV being anti-gay and stuff, and so and on the airwaves. So it's not trivial at all. I think it is significant.
The sponsor, which is one of the beer distributors, he's also responsible for bringing in several other sponsors of products that he distributes. So about two-thirds of the funding of the parade, I believe I have my math right, about two-thirds of the funding for the parade is coming from this company or sponsors that they brought along with them. Now, here's part of the problem, because I really do see both sides of it. It's very corporate. We don't want it corporate. Okay, how are you going to pay for this? Do you know how much the parade costs to put on?
I don't.
Patty? I'd say maybe, what, $150,000, $200,000?
It's $130,000 this year. And the money has to come from somewhere.
And that's a lot of money.
Now, the reason our parade costs so much, and Fort Worth does it on about $10,000, the scale of the parade is one thing, but the largest cities in the country have put into place different security rules. And it had to. They started right after September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do our parade on $5,000 to $10,000. Also, we did things like. Did you ever haul trash in Lee Park after the parade? Oh, I can't tell you how many bags of trash in the 90s I hauled across Lee Park to the dumpsters. It has to be professional trash hauling. Street cleaning. First of all, the parade has to have barricades along the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a parade, have to do that in Dallas. That's Dallas City Ordinance. Fort Worth doesn't do anything like that. Street, again, has to be professionally clean. Costs money.
Security.
Security. We used to get by on 5 to 10 police officers. It's now 93.
Wow.
That's off-duty pay is high. And each officer's paid a minimum of 4 hours. The parade is starting at 2, but the police officers started probably at about, well, they closed the street off at 10, probably at about noon. They were all there. They're working till at least 6. Some of them are not coming until a little bit later and patrolling the park. It's a lot of officers with a lot of hours. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what some of the other big expenses
are. I think out of all of those, that one is worth it. Even if it is 93 or 100, I think that's worth it.
I'm not saying this isn't worth it.
No.
I'm saying there are expenses.
Right,
here.
Exactly.
It's not a matter of the Tavern Guild is putting on this parade and, gee, why can't they do it for free?
Right.
$130,000 to do this. And that was the latest budget that I got from them, like, last week. So that was a pretty good estimate of what it was going to cost.
And it's very clear that some of these things obviously are mandated to even have the parade
right.
where we have it, in the way that we have it.
We don't have a choice.
Right. Those are some minimums there. You know, and I don't know what the Tavern Guild targets as a good prize, but they have to advertise and they have to do some other things to get the word out and let people know when things are going to happen, that things are going to happen, you know, how to be involved, all of that kind of thing. They certainly have to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Pride guide that they put out, it's a 72-page glossy. It's expensive to print.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, getting sponsors. Now, obviously, it's put on by the Tavern Guild. Most gay pride parades are not put on by their bars. Most cities, their bars don't talk to each other. They compete.
Right.
They hate each other. This is Dallas. We get along. It usually works for us. It's that Dallas thing. And I don't mean that negatively. I mean that, you know, that's just how we do things here. But, you know, it's the bars putting it on. If you're a bar, who are your contacts to get sponsors? Now, there's always been this thing, well, why doesn't another group do it? Patty, why don't you do it?
Well, because you got to step up and you got to be able. That's a lot of work to raise that much money for any organization.
Annually.
Annually, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So, you know, I don't begrudge any corporate sponsors, and I think it's also an outlet and a way for people, for corporations, I guess, who are people too, now.
Yeah. Now
they
are.
To express their support for our community. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, early on when we were, you know, really starting to get some really great corporate sponsors, maybe not at the presenting level, but, or whatever, what level you call the
title sponsor.
Title sponsor. But, you know, that's really an opportunity for local businesses and big corporations to be able to say, hey, we support you, and we mean it with our money. Mm-hmm. We're going to put our money into it. And I think that's a great outlet for folks, too. And, of course, you know, people can be jaded and say, oh, well, you know, we don't need them anymore. But, you know, you dance with the one who brung you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this year was the tipping point. A group of activists just had enough. We're not going to a parade that's being sponsored by a company that did this large fundraiser for Dan Patrick, whose opponent, Letitia Vandeput, will be marching in the parade today.
She's also in Austin, who's having their parade today.
Right.
Why did they
have
their parade?
No, they were yesterday.
Oh, they were yesterday?
They were yesterday. Okay. They moved about 2 years ago to September.
You know why?
Heat.
Heat. Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm.
It's that Texas heat.
Texas heat.
Letitia's marching. Is Dan Patrick going to be in this parade? No. You know, and Andrews, the distributing company, their excuse was, we felt we had to do this because there will be a number of bills coming up in the upcoming legislature involving the liquor industry, and basically we had to cover our butts.
And a lot of companies do that. They give money to both sides, and usually fairly equal amounts.
And they do.
And they
because,
do.
I mean,
you
know, to be fair, they do.
Facebook took some heat for doing the exact same thing a couple of months ago.
When I say give money to both sides, they are not supporting Letitia in any way, shape, or form. They're supporting Dan Patrick because of bills that will be coming up in the legislature. My question to them was, wouldn't a better strategy be to make sure he's not elected and the one who's not going to be interfering in your industry is elected? Didn't get an answer to that one. I got the corporate gobbledygook. Well, let me get back to you. And what's your email address? We will email you an answer. And I got the corporate speak answer. When I say they support both sides, they support NASCAR up in Fort Worth. That's mm-hmm. one of their big ones that they do. They support just a number of things that attract a whole variety. So they're supporting around the community.
Well, it seems to me that if they're the biggest distributor for the Tavern Guild mm-hmm. And Tavern Guild members, that the whatever, you know, reaction people are having to it would also spill over into the bars.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would presume that would be forthcoming if it's not already. Which could be a serious impact. I mean, it's not just a one-day thing here. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a distributor 24/7. You know, so.
Yeah, will it spill up? Okay, so here's what's happening. Another group called Queer Bomb. Queer Bomb started in Austin, and now there's Queer Bomb in Dallas. Queer Bomb in Austin started several years ago when Austin moved their parade to September. They said, no, June is Pride Month. We're going to do our event now. So that's where it came from. Queer Bomb started here last year. This year is the second Queer Bomb. It's going to be today, 5 o'clock, Main Street Garden downtown. And it's going to be just kind of a loose celebration. They invited people to come and speak, talk, play music.
So you said it started at what time? 5?
5.
So that means you can go to both.
You can go to both. Yeah. The parade will just be about over then. 6:30, there's going to be a march in downtown. So, yeah.
Having to pay for barricades? And
no. Here's why. Barricades are only required when an event is over a certain size.
Oh.
The event itself is being done as a demonstration. A parade is not a demonstration, but the march is a free speech march. You can't have floats.
Right.
But you can march. You're allowed to march. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right.
That's free speech. But it's not a parade. So there's just that difference there. If it gets to a certain point, they will find they're going to have to do certain things. They can't just take over Main Street Garden. And that's really what they're doing. You can go to the park, Patty. Mm-hmm. You can go to the park today, Laurent. I can go to the park. Isn't this nice? There are 500 gay people who happen to be in this park this afternoon. Do 500 of us need a permit? Well, if it was an organized event, yeah, but if it's not, you know.
Spontaneous.
It's kind of spontaneous. We all just decided, I invited, you know, a couple of thousand of my best friends, and we all just ended up in the park. And that's if it ends up as an event that is more organized with a couple of thousand people who go, yes, they will have to not barricade, but they'll have to fence the park like they fence Lee Park. Again, that's one of those city rules. Fencing to surround the entire Lee Park, expensive.
And
yeah,
it was
very,
you know, what kind of lit the match under Queer Bomb's butt to even get them to start their own demonstration or parade. It was the controversy from last year, which was the police's not reinforcement, but just a reminder that, you know, when we have our floats and during the parade or whatever, you know, you can't show too much skin or whatever. Mm-hmm. Exactly what it was. Again, that's all that had always been in place, but it was just a reminder, and that really kind of annoyed or, you know, made some other members angry, and so they were like, you know, we'll start your own, and that's what they did. So good luck to them. Mm-hmm. I hope it grows and it's a success. There's nothing wrong with having two.
Well, I was just going to say, Dallas, Fort Worth area has, what, 5 million people, closing in on 6 million people?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can afford to have more than one event.
Right.
So,
and if one tickles your fancy more than the other, go to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have Razzle Dazzle in June.
We do.
So, right. You know.
That's really become our Pride celebration in June. And Queer Bomb did an event in June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Austin moved to September and did this Queer Bomb event in June to celebrate Gay Pride. They don't have anything like Razzle, but that was the point of Queer Bomb coming here. Let's do something in June, and they did. And mm-hmm. several hundred people went to it, and it was a nice event.
Yeah,
it was really a lovely event. And we'll see how this year's event in Main Street Garden turns out.
I hope it's a success and it continues to grow.
You know what? It's a first. And
they'll
see what they can do and who they can attract. And they had 1 week to prepare this because, you know, this started 2 weeks ago. I did a story about Andrews because I got a call from somebody who was invited to that Dan Patrick fundraiser. And his response wasn't, yes, I'll be coming. I guess you could check off, yes, I'll be coming, or no, but I'll be calling David Taffet and letting him know so that he can publicize that you're supporting a homophobic candidate.
Yeah.
So, and that's what he decided to do and let me know. And, you know, when I looked into it, they didn't deny it at all. They just said, you know, their reasoning was kind of,
Self-focused interest.
Well, you know, and companies, I get it, do that kind of thing. But, you know, when we're dealing with our lives, doesn't thrill me when they do that. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the extremely late Patty Fink. Just showed up from last week's show, or for last week's show. We'll be back with more right after this. God, I have to like turn the microphones on and lower the music.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would be nice.
I'll just do more of the music.
You know, and we can just go up and dance.
That's the entertainment report music, Laurent.
For the first time, John Travolta has finally addressed these.
I just want to say Josh isn't here today.
He isn't.
Right. I don't do the board anymore.
That's right.
So I'm
that's
like,
right.
Yeah, okay.
Just make sure the music's not over your voice, right?
Right.
That's
right.
Okay.
It's not.
Now it was. Okay.
Now
it's not.
Now it's not anymore. Pissy. Anyway, well, the first time John Travolta has finally addressed the various claims that he is gay, including the claim of that he had a 6-year relationship with a former male employee who currently just won the right to pursue and write a tell-all book. John says that such a gossip is a celebrity's Achilles heel. It's just about people wanting money. That's all. I kind of have to agree with him. He went on to say that other people may attack it back more than he does, but he let it all that media stuff go long ago because he just can't control it. Kind of have to agree with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really do much about it, but I do think it's interesting that this guy went to court for the right to pursue, to publish this book, a tell-all book.
Because there had been another decision had blocked him from doing this.
Right. John Travolta's people tried to block it, which kind of makes it interesting. If there's nothing there, John Travolta, why are you trying to block it? So, I don't know.
Well, maybe this author needs to talk with Glenn Maxey. They could jump up.
There you go.
Are you saying John Travolta and Rick Perry?
Hey, you never know. They probably have some common experience.
They might. Well, it has been alleged that they do. Yeah. Cher has been slapped with a $10 million lawsuit by one of her choreographers and two former backup dancers. All three claim that Cher fired them just a month after they reported an incident at a hotel that a female fan had claimed that one of the backup dancers had sexually assaulted her, and they immediately reported it to management, and they were fired shortly after. The lawsuit also claims racial discrimination due to Cher's claim that she did not want to hire people of color and made the comment, "We have too much color on stage during the auditions, during the dance auditions." I guess one of the main choreographer wanted to hire this female lady. They don't specify her race. They just said that she wasn't white, and Cher did not want to, and said that there's already too much color on stage.
Wow.
Interesting.
Cher, who built her career on the gay community,
mm-hmm.
When Chaz came out as lesbian, didn't talk to him.
Right.
Came out as transgender. Didn't talk for a year.
Talk for a year.
She seems to have some issues.
Yeah, I'm not saying this is true. Who knows? Well, wait till it goes to court. The case might even get dismissed because there's no evidence. But based on what you just said, I don't necessarily doubt it.
Yeah, there's several other things about her. She doesn't understand what the term farewell tour means.
Kind of like Bette Midler doesn't understand it.
Well, Bette Midler never did really a farewell tour.
I think she has.
She went through. She did a tour where she was going to stop doing those big shows where she comes up out of the floor and stuff. And
then she did one again.
And then she did one again.
Right. Now, Cher's campus quickly dismissed the lawsuit as meritless and, quote, couldn't be further from the truth. Of course, she's not going to say that. But if there's some meat to this, I mean, who knows? This might actually go to trial or mm-hmm. something. But
there's no real LGBT anything in there. It's just that it's Cher.
Mm-hmm. It's just that it's Cher.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just checking.
What's your point, Patty? You know what? I know what it is. Lauren, she's commenting on one of your stories from last week.
That's what it is.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. MTV just announced that the Orange and New Black actress and trans activist Laverne Cox will be at the helm of a new documentary-style show called Laverne Cox Presents the T-Word. As part of MTV's Look Different campaign, the show will chronicle the lives of seven trans youths from different backgrounds and will explore what it means to be trans-identified in America today. Laverne says that the T in the LGBT means more than transgender. It also means truth. I'm one episode away from the first season of The Orange is the New Black, and I see what all the fuss is about. It's a really great show.
Wow. You haven't finished?
No, I said I think I have one more show to watch. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I'm playing catch up. I just got the DVDs from Netflix last week, so
it is addictive.
Great show. But kudos to MTV. They for all their faults, but they have always been really, I think, ahead of the rest of the media when it comes to portraying our community. Way back to the early 90s with Pedro Zamora, first outside of the guy from the 70s. And I can't think of
Lance
his name. Lance Loud.
That was an accident, though.
Yeah, that was an accident.
They were following the Loud family. This mm-hmm. was public television.
Mm-hmm. I watched it.
Yeah. Before Laurent was born.
Yeah.
Public television was following this family.
It was for the first reality show, really.
It was the first reality show. And in the middle, several things happened. Lance came out. The parents broke up. You know, so it
not
really
at the same time. Those things did not occur at the same time.
But it was within actually during this filming period, mm-hmm. which was not that long. So over a couple of months period, and so it was this explosive, and everybody was watching it because that really was a reality show.
I mean, it never been done before to follow someone week to week to week and just film them over many months and.
But when Lance
seasons.
Came out, that was like, wow, that was just. I guess some people would have called it scandalous, but most people that I know just were like, wow, they're doing that on TV. But that was a reality show, unlike these fake scripted, you know, game show things that they call reality shows that are not.
Right, yeah. Reality show isn't really real anymore.
No, they're completely scripted.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're listening and you've never seen it before, if you get a chance to see it, I highly recommend sitting down through all of it. Whether you can get it on DVD or it re-airs on PBS or whatever, it is fantastic. It really is wonderful to see that kind of family dealing with it all mm-hmm. So early in our, I would say early 70s.
So I think that's all I have.
Okay, unless let's just do the Nick Jonas one.
Okay,
Nick Jonas, the family lives here in
South
Fort Worth. And Nick Jonas, who's the youngest of the three brothers in their band, mm-hmm. He said that the Jonas Brothers never did enough for their gay fans. Now, what the Jonas Brothers are known for is they promoted an abstinence and purity rings and through the Christian campaign True Love Waits. So that they were known for that image. Now, Nick Jonas, he's 22, and he said, you know, looking back on the band's history, we never acknowledged our gay fans, and we should have. Okay, you were kind of like,
well,
you mean there were screaming gay tweens?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Okay.
I guess.
I never did this about them, so thank you for enlightening me.
Yeah.
They were part of a boy band, and boy bands always have some gay fans. They just, like you said, just the members of the band just mm-hmm. don't really acknowledge them. Too much later. You know, how this prompted, what prompted the story Dave and I were talking about, did I even include this in my entertainment report? And I said, no, it's just another story of a young celebrity who's embracing the gay community. Because the other part of the story is he's been kind of seen at a couple of gay clubs lately. And I think he's about to do a movie or a TV show. And he also announced, he said he won't say right now, the character that he's playing might be gay. Mm. That's the other part of the story. But
now somebody like Kirk Cameron, who also has that, you know, that pure Christian. He mm-hmm. would never do a role like that.
Oh, of course not.
So,
of course not.
That's the image that they've, you know, kind of created.
Right.
And he's breaking that. I think that's.
I'll take it. The reason why I didn't include it, because, again, this is just another story I thought was thinking of another gay, a young celebrity who's maybe kind of taking advantage of the fact that they have gay friends. He's striking out on his own. He's trying to build his own single, independent career aside from the group. They're a dime a dozen,
but not somebody with this image. And the bulk of their fans really are not the gay community. The bulk of their fans are Christian,
preteen girls. Yeah.
Okay, so Joe Jonas said, we have a lot of gay fans and friends. It's a boy band stereotype, and we don't take offense.
Okay, it's positive, I'll take it.
And, you know, last year the band addressed rumors about their sexuality, and mm-hmm. they said, despite not being gay, we're not going to be offended by this speculation. John Travolta. He went to court to stop stop all this speculation.
Tom Cruise.
A little bit of a different situation, but
well, of course it is.
Yeah, I don't blame Tom Cruise.
But he's saying, in this case, they're saying we don't even want to think we're gay. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
What it is they're comfortable in their sexuality.
Well, not only that.
You want to call me gay? Who cares?
They come from a different generation.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. True. So, good for him. Mm-hmm. Well, I take it.
Okay, a story I worked on this week. I had, I get calls. Whenever it's an odd call in my office, they say, oh, you need to talk to David. Like, whenever I hear that, it's like, oh, great, what is this one going to be? Well, I got a call from somebody. He was a Ugandan refugee, and the president of Uganda, this is the guy behind the Kill the Gays bill, was going to be in Irving this weekend for a conference that Saturday was going to be religious, and Sunday, today, they're meeting with investors because Uganda has oil and gas, and they're trying to bring in investors. So now I don't have the usual interviewing techniques that most journalists had. I called up the Irving Convention Center where the meeting was going to be, and I said, I'm David Taffet, write for Dallas Voice. You have a genocidal murderous maniac who's going to be speaking at an event there this weekend. Can I get a comment, please? That's how I started.
Yeah.
We'll have to get back to you on this. So I put something online and put that he was going to be staying at the Four Seasons.
In Irving.
Yeah. One thing that, like, police don't really like is when they're trying to protect a head of state, especially one that a whole Ugandan community wants to get rid of, because we have a lot of Ugandan refugees. There are about 1,000 of them here in the Dallas area who are here primarily because their lives were threatened. So I put this online. Well, the Four Seasons Hotel canceled their reservations. Irving, the convention center, when they looked into what I wrote, with links to everything to explain the Kill the Gays bill, to explain who this guy was, why he's bad news, and why he shouldn't be in Texas, basically. They said the Ugandan embassy hadn't gotten all of the paperwork in, so they were canceling the event. So the Ugandan embassy published that they were going to be staying at the Gaylord Hotel out in Grapevine. So I...
The Gaylord?
The Gaylord Hotel, yes. So I put online, events been moved. Meanwhile, the Irving police called me. They wanted to know what kind of turnout I thought there would be. I explained it's Pride weekend. There'll be a very small turnout from the gay community, but, you know, there are these Ugandans. Well, do you think that any of them are dangerous? I said, you know what? One of them who called me, and I had several call me about this. These were people who were terrified. If we go to protest, do we need a permit? And I explained all the rules. As long as you're peaceful, as long as you're on public property, you can't walk onto the Four Seasons property. You can be out in front. You can't block their driveway, but you can be on the sidewalk. You know, that all that kind of stuff. Oh, sure, we can do. Oh, don't worry. That's all we're gonna. They were so happy that they could just stand somewhere where this man could see them carrying a sign that says "Murderer. You killed members of my family." When they heard that Irving had canceled this, this one guy who I'd been in touch with most, he was in tears. So we found out
he wanted to do that, right?
That's all he wanted to do, was hold a sign so that this man could see, you affected me, and just because, you know, you can't come here and be safe from, you know, or here where we can protest, I'm going to say something. So they moved it to the Gaylord. The Gaylord Hotel hung up on me 3 times. When I put something online that this was moved to the Gaylord, 5 minutes later, I did get a call. Interesting how that happens. She said they inquired. She said, where did you get this information? I said, from the Ugandans. She said, no, they inquired. We can't put together that kind of security, which I knew they wouldn't be able to from talking to Irving police. Mm-hmm. I said, how can you put that together? And they were really worried, Irving police, about it moving to Grapevine, because that involves 2 different counties, completely different police forces, to get this guy from Grapevine to the Irving Convention Center, because that was before the convention center canceled. Anyway, they canceled him. Today the event is 3 o'clock. He's speaking to investors in Allen.
In Allen?
In Allen. Wow. Now, these investors who were told one day Irving, the next day Grapevine, the next day Allen, it's at a private ranch somewhere east of Allen, between Allen and Lucas or something. The investors aren't showing, but there were demonstrators there yesterday for their prayer service, and today there will be at 3 o'clock.
Well, good. So, you know, this is a country of free speech, and they have a perfect right to tell him what they think.
There's just for the listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, this is the president of Uganda who wanted to sign a bill. This bill was introduced back in 2009. Though homosexuality is already illegal in Uganda, as it is in most African nations, This one would
not include, in South Africa. It's in South Africa. It's in their constitution that we are protected.
Right. I say most.
Well, they were the first marriage equality country.
Exactly. Exactly. That this would also include, this would go take it further from just being in prison. This would take it further that it included the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought it. He fought it even though Europe and other, including the United States, were saying that they were going to pull their aid that they give the Uganda. He was still saying, so what? So what? We don't need you. We don't need it. He still wanted, well, the bill was finally amended and it was signed this year. And included life in prison. I guess that was their agreeing point.
And declared unconstitutional on a technicality,
mm-hmm.
and he reintroduced it.
And he reintroduced it. So, I mean,
He's going way out of his
he's
way.
He's going way out of his way. It's not like the people are just pushing this.
The most common comment I got on this was, yeah, sounds like he's here to meet his boyfriend. Why would this matter to him so much?
I mean, yeah, this is at the forefront of his mind. He an evil man.
Well, I do love that there were so many people on Facebook that were willing to open their homes for him to stay with them. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was nice.
A bunch of gay families that said, hey, he can stay here.
We have some evil people here, too. They're just not head of state. Well, some
no,
of
these
them.
Were gay people who were
these
offering
were gay people
accommodations.
Said, hey, you can stay with
us. Oh, well, I guess they wanted to...
With some mm-hmm. mirth, I
yeah,
must say.
Yeah. Interesting.
We'll show them a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I ended up doing...
They should bring them to Pride.
They should bring them to Pride, exactly.
Well, when they couldn't get into Grapevine, you know, for a head of state, they have to have... They can only stay in particular hotels that are big enough to accommodate a big block of people,
entourage.
An entourage, in one place, and keeps police security in place. And now when you have somebody like this whose life really is threatened, now any head of state, their life could be threatened, but somebody like this who probably whose life is less threatened than most, but it's perceived, you really have to put together a security detail. So the suggestion we had was, do you know one of the hotels that's good at doing that kind of thing is the Melrose?
On today, on Sunday.
Today, on Sunday, on Cedar Pride. Springs, it would have been a perfect place.
He could look out his window and see a wonderful parade
he
and happy people.
Could have, and he could have thought it was for him. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink, and this is Lambda Weekly. Patty.
This coming Friday is the opening of the State Fair of Texas. It's going to run from September 26th through October 19th. And this is, if you've never been to the State Fair of Texas, you've got to go. Not just for all the fried stuff, but for the car show, see what's coming up. You know, we were like the first to see, you know, like DVD players back when.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we got the Midway, we've got goat races and dog races and you name it, it's out there. Lots to eat, see, and drink. So anyway, DART, the Dallas Area Rapid Transit, is adding a bunch of new service to get people to and from the fair. And in particular, they're adding a bunch of new trains. So when you take the and if you use the GoPass application that I think is available for Android and Apple to purchase your tickets, you can also purchase a rail pass that gets you into the fair.
Hmm.
So it's a combination thing. So that's going to be really exciting. And there are going to be lots of new trains added to the Green Line, where the Fair Park Station is right in front of the fair at the Perry Gate. They're going to be adding more to the MLK Junior Station. So there'll be ways to come and go really, really well. And then the Orange Line, which usually doesn't run except during rush hour, all the way to the end of the Parker Road Station in Plano, is going to be running that whole time.
Hmm.
So, you know, be sure to get your DART pass and
you know,
and go
even
to the fair.
If you're driving out of the way to get to a DART station, it is so convenient to get to the fair that way. Parking is free. You pay for your rail ticket. You don't have to fight with parking. You don't have to fight with
you
the traffic.
You step off the train,
you
you're right there.
You just get off the train, and the train lets you off at the entrance. It's Wonderful.
And then you walk back. When you're done, you just get back on the train and relax until you get back to your car.
Lauren, before you do your story, I just want to read this. It's been sitting right in front of me, and I keep forgetting to do it. Read KNON event. That's, read means that was instructions to me. What?
You should have put, hey, David.
Yeah. Well, did it say that? Read. It assumes I know how. KNON tribute to James Brown, Lil Jimmy and the Feedback Band and Briefcase Blues this Sunday, September 21st. Next Sunday. Sunday? No,
that's
today.
Today.
That's today. Today. Today.
You're in
today.
The wrong
today.
Week. Yeah. It's David that's late to the show.
I guess. The Gas Monkey Bar and Grill at 10261 Technology in Dallas. Doors open at 6 p.m. The show's at 7. Tickets are available at KNON.org. Forever Young Records, Bill's Records, Comp Cleaners in Fort Worth, The Gas Monkey Bar and Grill. For information, 214-471-4180, or just go to KNON.org. There will also be a James Brown dance contest. Winners take trophies. Sounds like fun. KNON events always are fun.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Lauren.
A new study done by the Williams Institute on Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity just completed a study that says that if gay men were allowed to donate blood, that would save over 1.8 million lives. That is remarkable. And for those who don't know, gay men haven't been able to donate blood since, what, 1983? 1983 is when they changed the policy, because when it was discovered that, of course, HIV and AIDS was still in its infancy, there was still a lot to learn about it, but when it was suspected that it was done.
Because one of the big clusters was among people with hemophilia who get blood transfusions.
You get it through blood transfusions. But what David and I were talking about before the show, I've never understood about this ban, is because they test the blood before they give it to anybody.
Well, right, and it's a matter of being truthful and honest on the questionnaire.
It is,
and there are people who are going to lie about having STDs that could
absolutely.
Be they're going to be people who are.
Yeah, well, Ron did that.
I did.
You did.
Yeah, you lied about having STDs. Yes.
No.
But again, it's like saying that if you're gay, you shouldn't be able to foster care. Provide foster care for kids, and straight people automatically are qualified.
Exactly.
It's the same stupidity that is in existence today,
right,
with this stupid law.
Well, what David was referring to, what I lied about, is the first time I donated blood, actually it's the only time I've donated blood, when I was 19 or 18, when I was in my first year of college. We were poor. We would a group of us would go every couple of months and donate blood, and you get like $50 a pop. I had no idea. I didn't know that gay men were banned. And, of course, I was still very much in the closet at that time. So
you weren't gay then?
It asked on the form. It doesn't say if you're gay. It asked men who sleep with men or have sex with men, I think how it's phrased. So I said no. But, ever since then, I can't donate blood.
Now, back in the 80s, there weren't tests for – because they didn't know – they didn't discover the HIV virus till 85. There was a reason for it in 83.
Yeah, it was understandable back then, but since then?
But now they can tell pretty quickly whether that blood is tainted. There's not a reason for it.
It's not
We're
a reason
coming
for
up on 30 years since then.
Not only that, just by banning us, you're assuming that all straight people do not have HIV? Give me a break.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
That's what ticks me off the most, is that it's not asking about any other aspect of your background that might indicate that you might be a carrier of the HIV. Be HIV positive. Or any other thing. I mean, like, Hep C. I mean, there's a lot of things to be scared of, but that they do test for.
They do test for it. My niece works for a blood bank, and one of my good friends works for Carter Blood Center, and they both have said, we don't understand it either. They test the blood before we even give it to anybody.
Right.
I don't understand.
We're not saying that, gay people with HIV should be giving blood. No, they shouldn't. All blood should be tested, is tested, and just banning gay people from donating doesn't even have – there's no logic, because it doesn't follow.
Right.
The
there's no logic to it.
Right. Exactly. So. It's a massive sweeping assumption that is false.
It is.
the GOP, where am I? The GOP has a new strategy, or some people in the GOP have a new strategy, changing their policy towards same-sex marriage. The strategy is to change it one state, one person, one congressperson at a time. But here's what's interesting. It's working.
Well, you know what? There's only 8 Republicans in the House that support us.
But that's 8 more than supported us a few years
right.
ago.
Right. But if they were doing it one person at a time, I think that is a good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one community that hears from their elected lawmaker mm-hmm. who says this is the right thing to do.
You know, several things are going on with this. Nevada, which is really – it's a Republican state, but it's a libertarian state. It's not a social conservative state. They voted –
Well, it's got Vegas. Come on.
Well, they right. yeah, they voted and decided within the Republican Party in their platform to take out all social issues. They just said, you know, these are not appropriate. What people do in their own private lives is their own business, not marriage equality, anything. And we're just not going to campaign on those. Those aren't winning issues.
Take that, Sharon Angle, which
well,
you ran
yeah.
years ago.
Uh-huh.
I bet there's some Republican Elvis impersonators in Nevada.
I'm sure.
So some Republicans are becoming allies. Not that they're pushing for marriage equality, but they're not fighting it in some places. Another group that has decided they're losing a lot of people and let's stop fighting it, and they're taking a very middle-of-the-road approach, young evangelicals. There's a new gay evangelical group that is blaming gay people partially for the problem and blaming evangelicals partially for the problem. You know, with the evangelicals, these are our strongly held beliefs. Do you know what they're blaming gay people on?
Yeah, I was just about to ask.
The part that they're blaming the gay community for is they're saying that by us calling them bigots, we've cut off all dialogue. You're both going,
Okay, that's their argument, but I don't buy it.
Okay, why not?
Well, they don't want to have a dialogue, period.
I think some of the younger evangelicals
maybe
do.
Some of the younger ones do. Mm-hmm. And the younger ones, it's taken a while to even hear them because they are young. I mean, but the ones who have control, the so-called dialogue, on their side, there's one dialogue, and that is, you're wrong, it's an abomination, it goes against the Bible. They don't want to hear anything else.
Yeah, to me, that's cutting off conversation.
That's cutting off conversation. We have tried to have a conversation and say, you know what, you're actually entitled to that belief, but we're talking about our civil rights here. They don't want to hear that. That's the dialogue we've tried to have, but they don't want to hear that dialogue.
But at the same time, I think, you know, I've been asked this question before, not just in, like, classes with first responders, but other people will say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and yada yada, and I don't think it's, you know, the right thing. But I don't want to be called a bigot because I'm not a bigot. And I'm like, well, you know what? Or homophobe. And I'm like, you know what? You're entitled to your beliefs, your personal religious beliefs. But what? And I don't think that if you have personal religious beliefs and you strongly hold those, that makes you necessarily a bigot. But I think it does when you vote for people who want us to be penalized for being gay.
Or vote directly for an anti-gay marriage amendment.
Exactly.
Sure, and vote for those things, and then give money to organizations that seek to limit our rights. Then I do believe that you have become a bigot. You have crossed the line over into full-on bigotry. You seek through your actions.
Exactly. Those are bigoted actions.
Yes, they are bigoted actions. And most of them get it when they think about it.
What you're doing, all you've done is you've given money to a candidate. That's not the bigoted thing. What you've done is you've enabled this other person to discriminate against me.
Sure.
You're saying you're not the bigot. Well, what you're doing is enabling the bigot to hurt me personally.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's why I say, you know, don't take any action against me, then you can believe whatever you want.
I mean,
but if you take action against me, I'm going to fight back, and I'm going to call you a bigot because you're trying to limit my civil rights.
Exactly. Like I was telling David before the show, you know, call it what it is. A spade is a spade. I mean.
Oh, I like to say a spade is a shovel.
I mean, sorry. If you're doing bigoted things, okay, well, I'm like, Patty, I'm going to call you a bigot.
Well, and you can have personal religious beliefs. That's where I think a lot of people don't get that they're really trying to impose their personal religious beliefs on me through the law.
Well, see, and that's the thing. They try and twist the argument that we're trying to impose our personal lives on them. And it's like, well.
And they can't even prove.
How so? We're just asking for the same thing that you already have.
And no one can prove that they've been harmed by my marriage or
right.
by me having my
because
civil
if they
rights.
Could we'd add or they'd add those to their marriage suits
right
so okay so here's one of those people who isn't a bigot. He's from North Carolina. He's Congressman Robert Pittenger. He said that firing gay people is a freedom that employers enjoy.
Oh, please.
Well, believe it or not, as current federal law stands, he's right.
As current federal law, if you're not a federal employee or a contractor
right.
of the federal government, an employee of a contractor right. of the federal government.
Well, as the Los Angeles Times pointed out, yes, that is a states' rights issue right now, just like they argued in Alabama and Mississippi that lynching was a states' rights issue.
Right. And all the Jim Crow laws were states' rights issues.
Those were states' rights issues, so, yeah.
Never mind that it's about human rights,
about
civil rights.
It was a freedom that some people enjoyed.
Sure, yeah. Well, so,
Arizona. Where is my Arizona story? So Arizona, their marriage law is coming up. The Arizona marriage law is being defended, not by their attorney general. The attorney general appointed the Christian-based Alliance Defending Freedom to argue the marriage law in court. And their argument, this is the one they're using, is that allowing, that would convey the message that an I'm not finding it. Their argument, I'm not finding the quote, their argument is that if you allow same-sex marriage, you're going to have fewer opposite-sex marriages. We will not have children again.
Oh, geez. I hate this thing. I really
so that's
hate this
worse
argument.
Than, that's actually worse than Texas Attorney General's
yes,
argument.
Yes, this one is worse. So Lambda Legal, what they're arguing? These people don't have standing.
No, they don't.
Why does a Christian organization, a Christian-based organization, have the right to represent the state?
Exactly.
Of all taxpayers, even those that are not of your religious faith, your
right.
personal religious
right.
faith.
It's even if you're Christian, they don't represent UCC. They don't represent a whole bunch of, Disciples of Christ.
Presbyterians.
A whole bunch that they don't represent. Yeah, why is this organization? So I like this approach. We've gotten to the point where we can just say, oh, that's your argument? You can't even defend this case. You're not even going to be allowed in court because you are so
right.
out of touch and so not related to this case.
Well, and imagine if they actually did get to the merits of their argument. It would just be silly. I just have to laugh when people say, oh, well, if we let gay people get married, then it'll be the end of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, there'll be no
right.
people. I'm like, okay, so for most of all, since the beginning of time, people have been right-handed and left-handed. And they've tried to make left-handed people right-handed because, being left-handed was somehow evil. And, you must be right-handed. You must do everything with your right hand. Everything. And then they discover, maybe 10% of the population is left-handed. And that's okay. That's
right.
really okay. They're different from you, but that's really, really okay. It's okay
really
to be
okay.
left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And, why that would presume to think that, all people suddenly now will not reproduce because gay people don't reproduce.
Well, it's not just that. You and Aaron live together. You've lived together for 45 years, and you are not married. Okay, so straight people can get married. You and Aaron suddenly go get married. Oh, that's the end of it.
Yeah, now
right.
now straight
right.
people.
Exactly.
Can't get married anymore, won't get married anymore, because, you two got a marriage license.
It's so exciting to know we have so much power.
We have 30 seconds.
Just to even try and counter that argument, what do they have to say about all the, and there's a lot of straight people who have kids who don't get married.
Yep.
They're still reproducing.
Yeah, that's all that's in Lambda Legal's
You don't need a marriage certificate to have a kid.
What about all these kids that that are in the foster system that gay people are taking care of?
Right.
Happy Pride, Cedar Springs. Parade kicks off in about 2 minutes. I'm Dave Taffet, Lauren Landis, late Patty Fink. Patty will be in next week for this week's show. And we'll see you next week.